574. Rename streets west of the Willamette River and east of Southwest NATO Parkway, Southwest Viewpoint Terrace, and Tryon Creek State Natural Area from southwest to south, creating a sixth addressing sextant in the city of Portland and Multnomah County, and rename Southwest Aventine Circus, Southwest Esquiline Circus, Southwest Front Avenue, Southwest Northgate Court, and Southwest South Ridge Drive. And 575, rename Southeast Martin Court for consistency with Southeast Martin's Court and Southeast Martin Street, and rename Southwest Radcliffe Street for consistency with Southwest Radcliffe Court and Southwest Radcliffe Lane and Southwest Radcliffe Road.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. When seconds matter, it's important for our first responders, our 911 call dispatchers and call takers, to know exactly which address they're responding to. And we have a situation right now that exists in Southwest Portland where confusion can reign supreme. If you live on 0255 Southwest Nevada, for instance, as opposed to 255 Southwest Nevada, well, you are not only separated by Interstate 5 freeway and about 700 feet of elevation, but that is too much time, and we can't allow for that kind of imprecision to exist, as I said, especially when first responders are involved. It's a fire, public safety, AMR response. And we can't have our call takers and our dispatchers at 911 taking the precious seconds to verify that we're actually going to 0255 Southwest Nevada as opposed to 255 Southwest Nevada. For whatever reason, a lot of people don't see a zero when it's the first leading number in an address. We could probably have great philosophical debates about the role of zero in that context, but we won't do that today. What we will do today is hopefully this council will set in motion the steps necessary to eliminate the situation and provide us with a new quadrant, or actually a sextant, in the city of Portland, which would be South Portland. And so we would have a South Portland demarcation and a Southwest. So the 0255 Southwest Nevada would be 255 South Nevada, and 255 Southwest Nevada would remain 255 Southwest Nevada. And our first responders would be trained accordingly, all those coming up through the ranks. Maybe no longer have to have special training on the geographic peculiarities of of Southwest Portland. There are enough geographic peculiarities as it is. So we could eliminate one of them and make sure that we are doing the utmost to provide safety to our residents of our city. The people in front of you have worked long and hard on this proposal, and I'm really pleased to be able to bring this proposal forward to council for consideration today and hopefully action next week to make this a reality. And I think with that, I will turn it over to Andrew Abbey, who has done a lot of work on this.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Saltzman. I'm Andrew Abbey, South Portland addressing project manager. Wanted to introduce my colleagues here at the table. On my far left is Captain Mike Krebs of the Portland Police Bureau. To his right is Don Rush, Deputy Fire Chief for Special Operations. And to my immediate left is Larry Palat with the Procurement Services. And then on my right is Dan Diaz, who is the Economic Development Director of the City of Hillsborough, who is just now wrapping up a very major street renaming and addressing change in Hillsborough. So, Sue, if we could switch to the presentation. So the last time that the city of Portland went through a major street renaming ordinance was in 1931 in the Great Depression, and that ordinance provided for what we now know today as North, Northwest, Northeast, Southeast, and Southwest Portland. And you can see from that actual script from the ordinance in 1931, you can see at the time there was so little population in what we're proposing to be South Portland that it just simply designated that a prefix zero be put in front of the addresses on east-west streets. One thing I wanted to point out on this slide is one of the most important things that this ordinance did was not only to set up the five addressing sectors, but also to establish a uniform set of addressing. So in other words, street names don't change every few blocks in the city of Portland. And that foresight of our forebears in 1931 has helped make Portland what it is today, which is a city that in most areas is very easy to find your way around. That green line that you see on the map is Burnside, and you can see that Burnside is a contiguous street, including a bridge over the Willamette River, carries the same name all the way from the Washington County border into Gresham. It does not change street names along the way. If you look down on the lower left-hand corner of this slide, you can see that our neighbor immediately to the west, the city of Beaverton, did not adopt this principle when they were extending their streets as part of the growth of their city, and you can see that there are three parallel streets there that in the space of 2 miles have between three and four street names, which is very confusing. So this is the logo that we developed for the new addressing sector that we're proposing come into existence in May of 2020, which is South Portland. So it's important to note that this project did not initiate with the city. It initiated by citizens of South Waterfront. As we were doing outreach several years ago in South Waterfront on what became the South Portal Project, we got a lot of feedback from residents in the area that the Leading Zero was very confusing, particularly for visitors. So since the South Portal Resolution was adopted in December of 2016, we've done a lot of staff work and a lot of outreach with the community, including four open houses and also briefing the Sweeney Transportation Committee on these changes. So this slide shows you kind of dramatically how much growth there's been in the area. So I worked on the Portland Aerial Tram Local Improvement District in the beginning of my career here at the city. When we formed that LID, we had 78 tax lots in what is now known as South Waterfront. By the time that we closed out that LID, 3 years later, the number of tax lots had increased from 78 to 342. And since then, there's been a lot of development, and there have been thousands of new residents added to South Portland. Part of the timing of bringing this ordinance before you today is to get in front of future development so that we don't have more people moving into South Waterfront and also grappling with the Leading Zero issue. But the problem is not only in the South Portland neighborhood, South Waterfront, we also have a very confusing Leading Zero addressing boundary in Collinview. It's actually an imaginary line. It doesn't go down, in all cases, down the middle of a street. It hops across the east fence of a cemetery in Collinview. It skirts across backyards. It is just simply not intuitive. You don't know when you're inside or outside of the Leading Zero area. So one of the principles that we used when we were laying out the future boundary of South Portland, if we wanted the boundary to be intuitive, we wanted it to be based on a landmark, and we wanted it to be a straight line. So I've showed you a map there. State of Idaho, among other states, borders Montana and Wyoming. We wanted that border between South and Southwest Portland to look much more like the Idaho-Wyoming border, i.e. a straight line down Viewpoint Terrace, as opposed to this curvy, crooked, imaginary line between Idaho and Montana that isn't intuitive to people. And on Viewpoint Terrace, once this goes into effect, on the east side of the street, you'll have a street name sign with South, and on the west side of the street, you'll have a street name sign with Southwest.
And what will Viewpoint Terrace be?
Viewpoint Terrace will remain Southwest, similar to how Williams Avenue is North Williams Avenue and divides North and Northeast Portland. And thank you, Commissioner, because that was a perfect segue into the next slide. So as we were sitting down with the Bureau of Development Services and reviewing our building code, what we also realized is that the building code has withstood the test of time quite well, but as some new streets were created in the Rose Quarter area, the building code was not followed. So if you look at this map here, we have a very small segment of the boundary between North and Northeast Portland. You can see that dashed red line. That's that the imaginary southerly extension of Williams Avenue, which makes a little bit of a jog there as you approach your Rose Quarters southbound. And you can see those properties that are shaded in purple. That is actually the east half of the Rose Garden. So depending on which side of the Rose Garden you're sitting in, the west side of the Rose Garden is technically, according to this, North Portland. And the east side of the Rose Garden is Northeast Portland. But obviously, we assign single addresses to properties. We're not proposing to readdress any existing buildings. We just simply want to move this line from that imaginary dash red line over to the green line immediately adjacent to Interstate 5. And so both the purple and the red areas there will officially be North Portland. And the green line then becomes North Williams Avenue instead of changing street names every couple of blocks similar to what they have in Beaverton. So I wanted to just recap for you, why are we doing this? What are the project objectives?
Excuse me, Andrew, just before you go on, I don't see that change.
Did you want to go back to the last slide, Commissioner?
Well, just a question about the change from northeast to north. That's not in the title of either of the ordinances.
Pardon?
The changing of that sections from northeast to north.
Yes.
It's not in the title of any of either of the matters before us today.
It's not in the title, but it's in the body of the ordinance.
And do the people who use that area know about it?
These streets here are primarily used by TriMet. It's really the access through the Rose Quarter Transit Center. And TriMet's been fully informed on that, and they've indicated that they're supportive of the change. There are no buildings addressed off to these streets. They're basically circulatory streets through the Rose Quarter.
Thank you. Now, has the Neighborhood Coalition been informed?
We did not involve the Neighborhood Coalition. Really, Commissioner, what we were doing is the building code already sets forth that Williams Avenue is the dividing line, so we're really just making the street naming coming into conformance with the building code.
Thank you.
So in terms of the project objectives, I'll just run through these briefly. So we wanted to eliminate the extra step that the 911 dispatchers currently have to do, where somebody's on the phone, they could potentially be from a leading zero area. They may actually be in the future Southwest Portland that remains, but the dispatcher still has to take extra time to make sure that they're not calling from the leading zero area. We were trying to eliminate addresses incorrectly reported by customers. We're really trying to eliminate the human error. And as I mentioned on the last slide, we're just simply trying to bring the addressing boundary in alignment with the building code chapter. And I think another important aspect of this is we're trying to avoid future situations where we don't know what the next information technology upgrade is going to be. It may be the permitting system. It may be the Water Bureau billing system. It may be the police citation system. We're just trying to make it so that we don't have to spend money in the future to pay a software vendor to reprogram an information technology system to work with the leading zero. And on my left, Larry Palat was going to talk a little bit about what that would look like for procurement services.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Palat, Procurement Services. Part of the problem with this particular thing is that we would very likely end up with a sole source technology type of upgrade if we had to go there. The issues with that, especially with sole source, is they're very difficult to manage and they're difficult to control costs in, and you end up in a situation where you may think you've bought something off the shelf, but it doesn't perfectly work, so then you end up with a lot more money invested in them, trying to make sure that they tack on to every other system that the city already has in place. Then with future upgrades to city systems, you end up with additional money tied to this one vendor with basically no capacity to compete it or control the costs in that manner, and you have to continually upgrade it, maintain it, and continually rebuild that so that it always stays consistent with everything else the city does. So especially sole source technology procurements by themselves are a little bit tricky and sometimes difficult to manage, and when you put them into a context of a sole source, it makes them even more difficult.
Thank you, Larry. And just to recap the bottom of the slide, this is some property owner testimony that I thought was very compelling. This is a property owner whose address will change to South. And he is a retired employee of the U.S. Geological Survey. He said the project is long overdue. A leading zero in an address simply does not work today. A zero is not used in front of a whole number or in any other scientific, business, or common use. The era when a city or business could afford to develop customized software is past. The city has chosen to avoid future costly customized software changes by investing in the hardware, in this case, new street signs. So I'm not going to read all of these, but these were the guidelines that we used. There's about 150 addresses out of the 9,600 that are getting more major changes. And these are the principles that we used in assigning those new addresses. I should add that a couple hundred of the 9,600 are at really just placeholder addresses for vacant properties, including those ones you saw in the Rose Garden. And those will receive new addresses at the time of future development. What was also very interesting is we had approximately 150 owner addresses in the leading zero, where when those people bought their properties and put down their mailing address with Multnomah County, they left the zero off of it. So we actually have residents of the future South Portland that are not using the leading zero in front of their address to reinforce what Commissioner Salzman said in his opening remarks. I just wanted to show you, this is a slide I took. I went out one day to Beaverton to just take a picture of the different street signs. In this case, if you leave Washington Square, you go down Greenway, which turns into Brockman, which then turns into Beard, and then it turns into Nora. As I was going through the Murray Boulevard intersection, I was an unfortunate passerby to a vehicle making a left turn and running into a motorcyclist. The fire station down the street responded very quickly. They knew what they were doing. What this made me realize, though, is somebody unfamiliar with the area who might be calling in that incident would not know whether they were at Hall and Greenway or whether they were at Murray and Beard or Murray and Greenway. There's any one of a number of different combination of street names. So really, I just wanted to show this to reinforce to council that one of the wisest things that our forefathers did in 1931 was just to have a uniform addressing of a particular street, contiguous street along its entire length. This is some of the feedback that we have received on the leading zero since we rolled it out. I just wanted to show you that on the top example, I was setting up a meeting with the South Portland Business Association. I was trying to get an idea as to a coffee shop at which we could meet. So I went into Google and I typed coffee 97239. The first thing that popped up was a coffee shop where they left off the leading zero, and the address that was indicated was 12 blocks out of direction. We didn't actually wind up meeting there, but my point being is that Google doesn't even always get the addresses right. So we got a comment from a North Portland resident. He said, I've always felt a bit lopsided. It will be nice to have a counterbalancing segment of South Portland. The middle piece of testimony there is from a UPS driver who is solidly in favor of this change. And then there's one there at the bottom that just talks about the different GPS problems with the leading zero addressing. And then moving on to slide number 11, this is how South Portland fits into the remainder of Portland. And one of the questions that I got quite a bit during the outreach process is, why do we even have leading zeros? The reason we have leading zeros is because the Willamette River curves pretty significantly to the east. If, for example, you go to the Milwaukee City Hall, its back door is on Southeast 21st Avenue, and the Willamette River at that point is about a mile out of direction. And Milwaukee is across the river from Riverdale, which is among the areas that are included in this street renaming and address change. The largest leading zero address we have is on Military Road, which is 24 blocks east of NATO Parkway and Viewpoint Terrace. And fundamentally, the reason we have leading zeros is because we could have established the address numbering in 1931 to start at that point in Riverdale, but had that happened, City Hall would no longer be on 4th Avenue, City Hall would be on 28th Avenue, and it would be a little confusing because you'd be in downtown Portland and wonder where the other 24 blocks went. So, full disclosure, I am a former leading zero resident myself, so I've grappled with some of these issues. But all of these examples that I just wanted to show you, these are not from me. This is actual feedback from Leading Zero residents. Another package was delivered to the wrong address. I had to give the police directions from reporting a fight. I had to cancel my credit card because their database couldn't handle the Leading Zero. I give out the Leading Zero. People think it's a typo and take it out. I tell people Leading Zero. They ask me, what do you mean, zero? And one of my favorites is, I was doing business with a company earlier this year, and they sent me an email with a little email string on the bottom where they listed a fake north-south address, and they said, go to this address and look around the corner and look for this colored door, and that's our real address, but the GPS can't find us. And
although, to be fair, that's...
Pardon?
To be fair, that's the same for a lot of Southwest Portland.
Yeah. So then the top one on this page is really my all-time favorite, which was the Leading Zero was dropped and a gas line was cut at my nearby neighbor's backyard instead of my house. We have two houses on the same block, which, but for the zero, they're the same number. So the gas line got cut at the wrong house. Next one down, the property owner at 202 has a sign in front of the house saying not 20202 to avoid packages being delivered to the wrong address. Fake letter 0 at the beginning of the address. UPS won't take the address. Use some other carrier to deliver your packages. And then finally, that little slide that I showed there on the bottom is a really egregious example of the addressing being wrong on a street in Riverdale, where you have a 0-1900 across the street from a 200 that doesn't have a Leading Zero. So the pink properties there at the bottom of the slide are actually 21 blocks away from where GPS would expect to find it. So now I wanted to just take you to a slide. This is a picture of our 911 dispatch center in Southeast Portland. When we started working on this earlier this year, we actually had a situation where our Vesta telephone software did not recognize a Leading Zero address. So when there was a bunch of testing going on, if you called from a non-Leading Zero address, the address would populate on the dispatch screen, but if it was Leading Zero, it wouldn't work. And I wanted to just turn this over to Captain Krebs and Don Russ, and they could share some perspectives from an emergency response point of view. Mike?
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Mike Krebs, Portland Police, and I moved here in 1992, and I was going through my coaching. You go through the coaching program with the Portland Police, and it was very confusing for me. I'd never heard of this Leading Zero before, and I actually missed a couple different addresses when I was responding to calls. They weren't emergencies, so no one was impacted by it, but it can be confusing. And a concern that I have is that in an emergency situation, oftentimes people revert back to, you know, what they've been doing over and over again. And we don't get that many calls down here. So if you haven't worked this area for, you know, 4 or 5 years and you get a call down there, it's potentially you could miss an address. And I think, as Commissioner Salzman said, is that time is of the essence on some emergencies. I'm also concerned, too, a little bit about if someone's not familiar with the area, maybe they're visiting and they come down and see some kind of crime in progress, they make a phone call to dispatch, they find themselves having this conversation over the phone about, okay, does it have a zero on the front or not? And so I think it's, I'm in favor of this. I think it's anything we can do to make it simpler for the police and fire personnel to respond, I think is a good idea. And I think it serves the community best when we can get there in emergencies without any kind of confusion. So that's all we have to offer.
Thanks.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners.
Andrew?
Oh, question.
You need the PowerPoint on?
Yeah, it's still up there.
Do you want to do it? So can we put the PowerPoint on the people testifying, please? Or the screen? Yeah. There.
Thank you. And then Don Rust also just wanted to offer some comments as well from the dispatching point of view.
Yeah, Don Rust, Deputy Chief, Portland Fire and Rescue. I work closely with Chief Myers. Mr. Abbey approached us about a year ago, and we had a meeting with Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, BTS. Chief Myers was there, and he outlaid the issues they had in the proposal to create the South Sexton at the time. Portland Fire and Rescue, we rely heavily on Bureau of Emergency Communications in the VCAD, the computer-aided dispatch system that we purchased about 7-8 years ago. So we rely heavily on technology. It wasn't always that way. I've been in for 35 years. I was fortunate. I didn't have to drive a lot, drive the apparatus at Station 4, Station 10. Back then, we didn't have a real transient workforce. Individuals went to a station, our members or firefighters, and they stayed there. And they had awareness, and they were very intimate with the fire management areas they worked in. But I always remember a couple times we didn't have to drive, and we'd have to have a map drill. The officer would make us familiar with that area, and it was always a confusing area having the leading zero. So here we are today, and we still have the issue, and Mr. Abbey approached us, said the South waterfront is growing, you know, and so there is a possibility of if we haven't solved the problem yet, it could get more significant. And now we have a much younger workforce, as Commissioner Salzman said, for cost reasons, and we'd like to, we have a lot of succession attrition planning. We're hiring much more, but we thrust these individuals, these younger firefighters, into driving positions. Granted, we rely on the technology we have now. We have mobile data terminals that are connected to a 4G air card that will give us a map. It'll show a dot where we're going if the address is validated correctly. Okay, we don't have automatic vehicle route recommendation where, like, your phone will show you the line to go to. That's coming. But none of that will work if we don't validate the address correctly. And there is a human element at the dispatching center. I'm still a member of the dispatch committee. I managed the fire liaisons up there. Commissioner Salzman, I believe at the time back in 2000, managed BOAC back then. And I was a fire liaison then. And I remember the problem then. And the point I'm making, there is a line choice that comes up with a few of these addresses that do occur. And this is a low probability, but it is a high risk. If there's some seconds involved here with a serious cardiac arrest or a high hazard event. Another element to think about is that the areas to where that we could have the duplication does have a freeway between it. So if these resources are dispatched to the wrong side of that freeway, it is going to take a lot of time to turn these resources around and get other resources to that area. So on behalf of Port Fire and Rescue and Chief Myers, we support this initiative.
Thank you, Don. And just to add to what Don said, at our third open house, we had a neighborhood police officer there, and he was listening to the 911 calls on his earpiece. He mentioned to me that he got a call for a 600 block of Southwest. It was a heroin overdose. And about a minute later, the call came in. Nope, we dispatched to the wrong place. It's the 0600 block. I don't know much about heroin overdoses, but I know that second counts when you're trying to respond to something like that. So the last thing I just wanted to show you on the slide before I move on is, you know, we can spend unlimited amounts of money to try to get the technology to work, but that still doesn't fix the human error element of the equation. So this is a map. We have multiple response agreements in areas, for example, like Riverdale. So this isn't just an issue for Portland Police and Portland Fire. We have, for example, Lake Oswego Fire Department that responds into this area, and they have to contend with the leading zero as well. And then here are some examples of some of the address changes that will be coming about. I'm not going to list them all here, but you can see that the majority of these address changes, they're really dropping the zero and dropping the W. We have very few major changes out of about 9,600 addresses. We have approximately 150 that have a more major change, and I'll explain more on that in a minute. The companion ordinance with this is I reviewed all of the street names in the city of Portland and found two streets that have been misspelled, and so we're taking this opportunity to clean those up. Martin will get an S on the end, and Radcliffe will get an E on the end. And this, I passed out, or actually Sue passed out a double-sided copy of this map to you before council started. These two maps, front and back, these are the epicenters of the Bermuda Triangles of addressing in Portland. This is where people go and get lost trying to get to where they're trying to go. I talked to a gentleman a couple weeks ago. His address is so badly geocoded that when he has visitors coming to his house, he has to go stand at the nearest intersection and wait for people to arrive and flag them to get to his house. So these are some of the problems that we're trying to eliminate. And then this is just an overview of the timeline here. Yeah. So if council approves this ordinance, we will roll out the new South Portland in May of 2020. We will dual sign for 5 years, at which time the Southwest Portland street sign will be removed. And with this slide, I wanted to turn it over to my colleague Dan Diaz from the city of Hillsborough. I'll just kind of give an intro on this slide, and he'll make some remarks. City of Hillsborough is wrapping up a much worse addressing problem. So this is a stretch of what used to be Baseline Road in Hillsborough, and it used to be driving from west to east. You went from 22950 west to 6956 east to 22135 east to 7400 west, all in the span of less than a mile. So what we're doing is just much simpler by comparison. I've got a picture there that I took of the gentleman whose mailbox is changing from 22135 east to 7215 with a different street name. So, Dan, you want to just tell us a little bit about Hillsborough's experience?
Thank you, Mayor and Councilors. Again, Dan Diaz from the City of Hillsborough, and here mostly for support. You are not the only entity that has experienced this. As Mr. Abbey mentioned, we are in the final stages of this, but we had about one-fifth of our community that was off primarily of a Portland grid system, whereas the other four-fifths of our community had been off of Hillsborough's original grid, which was more centralized to the historic downtown area. And with that, we had to work with a significant portion of our community, about 11,000 homes and businesses combined out of about 55,000 address points total, to work in changing multiple elements of the address, the house or building number, in some cases the prefix, as was pointed out just a moment ago, in some cases the street name, as was also highlighted a moment ago, and we also, which I will not get into too much depth today, had city code issues as well. We had some addresses that were actually Beaverton in the city of Hillsborough, which added a completely different level of confusion and complexity than perhaps a leading zero may. But we experienced very similar challenges and concerns. Obviously, these type of efforts have significant impacts in terms of the community, in terms of requiring them to change addresses. And we worked with our community, both the businesses and the residential entities, in terms of transition plans to try to accommodate changeover of addressing. Businesses, for example, sometimes have very complex logistical reasons and shipment orders as well that they have to go through their logistics chains to update as well. So we took that into account, I think, in a similar vein, and you've actually taken it a step further to give additional time and accommodation to that, but really to allow this level of a change to both roll out, but do so recognizing the implications to the community, but also recognizing that if it's not addressed now, it does continue to increase itself with growth, and that's very much a commonality that we experienced and why we made the call as well. One last piece I'll just highlight on as to why we did it is very much in the same vein of public safety and delivery of services was a confusion poised with us. And as I mentioned, it wasn't just a leading zero. It was across multiple segments of multiple addresses. And so with that, definitely understand the position you're in. Definitely understand also the positions that both the community has stated and your staff have stated, and wish you the best of luck with that effort.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dan. We're now on the home stretch of this. So this slide just shows you a recap of how many intersections we're proposing to change in the city of Portland. It's just a little over 1%. It's a large geographic area, but you have a lot of open space, cemeteries, etc. So it's a little over 1% of the intersections in the city of Portland. This is a recap of the number of property owners affected. Roughly four-fifths of the change is South Portland Neighborhood Association. And then you have the River Place area of downtown, and then Collinview is right behind it in terms of neighborhoods that have the most benefit from this change. And then my final slide here, and this is a very important slide, is I really want to emphasize that the $305,000 that we want to budget for this if council approves this. This is not a new expense. The vast majority of street signs that we have in this area do not meet current engineering standards. As you can see from this slide, some of these street signs have faded so badly over the years that they're pretty much illegible. In some cases, even newer street signs were fabricated without the leading zero addressing on it. So the question I've always asked is, if we forget to put the leading zero on a street sign, I'm not exactly sure how a visitor to Portland is supposed to know that there's a leading zero there. So really, the business case for this, aside from customer services, we would rather spend money on replacing our depreciated assets, i.e. failed and incorrect street signs, than we would to do what Larry was talking about, is not knowing where the next IT system is that will break with the leading zero and having to spend more money on a Band-Aid for that. And just to give you a real-life example, in the past year, council approved a contract amendment. It wasn't a brand new software system. It was an amendment to a contract for a software interface that was $340,000, which is more than what we're proposing for the street sign for South Portland. So that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions you have. I believe we have some invited testimony and property owner testimony. Thank you for your time.
So is that Southwest bond on the black? Is that the new standard for street signs?
Yeah, that's the new standard in terms of the font, and the color is unique to South Waterfront. Yeah.
I've noticed that people have been changing the street signs anyway to make them larger and more easy to read. So some of these, like the ones other than the bond one, would be replaced anyway.
They would, Commissioner. I think the main thing is that our street sign replacement budget is so small that it would take us a very long time to get the changed out, and we're not completely keeping up with the deterioration in our assets. I know you've heard that before, but we don't budget enough for street sign replacement.
I wasn't aware that the Bureau was planning to do it anyway, and so as somebody with fading vision who's really appreciated the larger street signs,
yeah,
I've been thrilled with how many have been going up. So I think this is another good reason to keep doing it.
And to your point, Commissioner, what we don't want to do is to waste money by going into South Waterfront and putting up leading zero street signs and then coming back several years later. For some reason, you didn't approve this now, and then having to replace them a second time to get rid of the leading zero.
Andrew, can I just ask you a question as a history buff? I remember a number of years ago when some signs were changed in Forest Park, the old signs ended up for sale up at the Botanical Garden and at the gift shop at the Rose Garden, and apparently there was a pretty healthy market for them, and I actually have one in my office. What is PBOT's policy on old historic signs?
Yeah, that is a very good question. I have to say I'm an alumnus of Lewis and Clark College, and so I'm trying really hard to get one of the old Palatine Hill Road street signs.
I bet you if we...
There's a market for it.
I bet you there's a market for them, and we could put them online or sell them through the Botanical Garden or something and make a little money.
Yeah, and I'm assuming the council would rather fund this effort partially through the sale of old street signs than to form a local improvement district to pay for the new street signs. So,
all right, now it's just getting late. You have another panel, is that correct, Commissioner?
No, I think it's public testimony.
Very good.
And I think we have some invited testimony.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. We do have an invited panel of Lewis and Clark, Collinsview neighborhood.
Yeah, so we have Alex Nato, OHSU, Lewis and Clark, Collinsview, and South Portland.
Great.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Larry, you must be getting tired of us this week. Perfect.
But I love it.
Good. Glad to hear it. Good afternoon. So those of you coming up to testify, please just state your name for the record. We don't need your address unless for some reason you want to give it to us. And if you are a lobbyist, we need that information, of course.
Nope. I think we're going to call you up first.
I don't know how many of us you want.
We can do two teams of three. And just about 6 inches, these are very sensitive microphones, so about 6 inches is right, and they, of course, slide around.
Okay. Great, good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and council members. My name is Len Michon. I live in South Waterfront. I'm also representing the South Portland Neighborhood Association, which comprises Lair Hill Historic District, John's Landing, the McAdam Plan District, and South Waterfront District. As a board member on the SPNA, we have concluded that we are fully in support of this change. We have had discussions with various residents about their concerns. And of course, the big concern is money. In some cases, we're talking of maybe $1,000 or $2,000 for people to change their addresses with their correspondence. But based upon the issue, the main issue, I think, really is the safety. And quite frankly, I am very much concerned about this. I had an incident, not in this locale, but my wife had a medical emergency. And if it were not for, shall we say, very good neighbors, something calamitous may have happened. Just because of the fact that at the time, I don't think I could have made the appropriate address call. So I think that's one of the reasons that we really should be looking at this as a very positive change. I think that's it for me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. My name is Alex Nato. I'm the grandson of Bill Nato, for whom Nato Parkway is named after. I was asked to say a few words on behalf of my family. I think my Uncle Bob gave some testimony earlier on this issue in support. And so I'd just like to reiterate his comments, and our family supported this. Personally, the Nato Parkway Street is a great source of pride for me and my family, and a great reminder for what my grandfather did and for the city and how much he loved the city. So we are honored that Nato Parkway will be an integral part of this new area of Portland, and I think my grandfather would be proud to be a part of it. He was, you know, obviously big on development and growth of Portland and obviously the safety of its residents. So I actually know that he would be in support of this because my grandmother, his wife, lives in what will be South Portland. So anything that makes her safer, I'm sure he would be a fan of, and I support as well. So thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Harrison. I work at Oregon Health and Science University. Registered lobbyist, I think I have to say that, but full-time employee of OHSU.
Thank you.
Literally, we have thousands of different unique documents. There must be a million pieces of paper with our existing address. So it's no small challenge to, over time, phase out all the existing pieces of paper, update all the websites, patient information, directions, et cetera. But all that said, we also have about 50,000 children and adults are brought to OHSU every year to our emergency department. And so we're very acutely aware that even a small matter of minutes can make a significant difference, life or death, or functionality of a patient over time. So we're not hesitant in our support for this change. On just one small personal note, I was the first family member to arrive at Adventist after my grandfather had a stroke a few years ago. And the neurologist on duty was very interested in knowing exactly when the symptoms were first noticed, because a few minutes one direction or another, and he wouldn't be eligible for a blood clotting drug. We were just a few minutes on the right side of that time, and he regained all of his both physical functioning and his neurological functioning were unimpaired. A few minutes different, and that would have changed everything. So personally and professionally supportive.
Thanks. Thank you.
Good afternoon, though. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners.
Is your mic on?
How about now? Better?
Okay. Much better.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to address you regarding this piece of city business. My name is Roy Kaufman. I serve as Director of Public Relations at Lewis and Clark College. I'm also a member of the college's Emergency Management Steering Committee, which is tasked with developing and maintaining the college's planning and preparations for a variety of emergent situations, ranging from isolated events like an active shooter to non-isolated events like an earthquake. When PBOT program manager and Lewis and Clark alumnus Andrew Abbey reached out to us to educate us about this proposed address change, we had our share of questions and concerns. Why the change at all? What will it cost us? How much time do we have to comply, or are there alternatives we can seek? And then how will we ever survive without a zero at the front of our address? Andrew made the time to discuss the proposed changes to South Portland addressing with various members of our community. As a result, we feel well-informed and consequently able to testify in favor of the project. The anticipated improvement to the safety of our campus community is extremely important to us. Our Collinsview campus houses approximately 1,800 undergraduates during the school year, with the total campus population exceeding 3,000 people on any given weekday. From our understanding of the project and the presentation today, one of the objectives is to improve emergency first responder response times by reducing confusion around existing numbering. We also had concerns about the cost and timeline associated with the change. PBOT explained the 5-year transition period, providing us ample lead time for implementation. And PBOT also worked with us to select preferred addresses for our law school and our president's residence, which we very much appreciate. We appreciate the thought that has gone into the planning and implementation of this project. We want to thank the city and Andrew for proactively seeking comment and addressing our concerns along the route. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Andrew, was there another invited panel?
Yeah, I think we were going to have the board members of Collinsview come forward.
Very good. Come on up.
Matt never had this in this district. I thought it was Potter.
Welcome. Same drill, name for the record, if you don't mind, and about 6 inches to the mic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
I'm Mary Ellen Reed from Collinsview. I'm speaking as a private resident of Collinsview.
Thank you.
I'm not here to address the objectives of the Leading Zero Address Project. I think the public's health and safety and the need of the first responders to have a reliably efficient 911 system overrules any personal inconveniences of address or nomenclature changes. I am testifying as to our experiences with the process as this project unfolded in Collinsview and the surrounding neighborhoods, including Riverdale. The really hands-on leadership by project managers Andrew Abbey and Deputy Fire Chief Don Russ was an outstanding demonstration of government work at its best, as it should be, as a participatory and inclusive process. Fire Chief Mike Myers was similarly so very effective in collaborating and integrating with PBOT. Andrew worked many, many hours with our neighborhood association, especially with our transportation chair, Prakash Joshi, to address, so to speak, and adjust boundary and other issues. Andrew and Don's presentations to the neighborhood somehow managed to be both concise and comprehensive. Much time was invested in this personal outreach. They listened to residents' questions and complaints and answered them factually and respectfully. Very effective rent control, incidentally. Neighborhood activists are a verbal bunch with many questions and strong opinions. The sense leaving the Collinsview meeting was that we were advised with straight information, that our perspectives were being sincerely considered, and that we had access to the project managers if we had further questions or concerns. Mandated change is seldom easy. The city's massive comprehensive changes are in the works, generating rancorous hearings and online discussions, and residents seem to be expressing frustration and feel under siege, unheard. The time Andrew and Don invested in the Leading Zero Project's outreach to really listen, to really solicit ideas, to fine-tune and be willing to accommodate made a huge difference. Their distinctive direction of this project was a declaration and an affirmation that the city can recognize that each neighborhood has its own unique demographic and geographic challenges, and on a personal level, that individual voices can be heard and do matter. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Mayor, can I just make an observation?
Commissioner Fish.
First of all, thank you for taking the time to come and speak glowingly of city employees. We often hear the other side of the ledger when people come to council complaining about one thing or another. But the other thing that I think is noteworthy is Andrew Abbey has some of the hardest assignments in this building. But you would never know it, because by the time they come to us, they're cooked and they have broad support, and there may be an occasional remonstrance, and I'm still not sure what that means, but there's occasionally a dispute that needs to be resolved. But the reality is all the work he does upstream, informing, educating, tacking, engaging, is what makes it a pleasure when these matters come to us. And I thank you. You're not the first person, you won't be the last, but I thank you for taking the time to acknowledge what real public service is about.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I would support that. My name is Elise DeLister, and I'm the chair of Collins View. And I would say that that was an incredible explanation of the process that we viewed as CVNA organization as well as a resident. The thoroughness and the description that she has supplied you is detailed and absolutely accurate. So thank you for that. Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners, I had the great opportunity to work with Andrew Abbey, the City of Portland Transportation Department, and Deputy Fire Chief Don Russ, and along with CVNA citizens in the communication process of presenting the South Portland Addressing Project. Change often brings the opportunity for communication that includes addressing fears, frustration, and often anger. During the neighborhood forums that I attended, Andrew and Don met these challenges with precision and excellence. Don's communication skills enabled neighbors to know that their concerns were being heard, while he provided information and education that produced a better understanding of the necessities and benefits of the addressing project. Andrew's ability to generate tools to assist neighbors with the transition, problem solve new issues that would continually present, resulted in change and improved outcome of the acceptance at the end of each forum. I appreciate Andrew's tireless efforts, time, transparency, and solution-based focus as he presented a constant stream of information, answers, and solutions to questions and concerns raised by the CVNA team during this whole process. Our CVNA meetings resulted in support of the process and a full understanding of the necessity of this change. While there was some discussion regarding the process, most concerns raised were regarding the address change transitioning details and support. I appreciate the combined transportation department and fire department approach. Don and Andrew presented a standard of excellence as they communicated and facilitated the essential mapping changes that will improve neighbor safety in a number of neighborhoods. It was a privilege to work with this dynamic duo. And on a personal note, I would say that I found that the city outreach for involving our first responders really created impactful risk management and prevention feedback that really supported this project. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, both of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mayor Andrew Abbey, before you turn it over to public testimony, what was included in the handouts was an amendment. So BDS made some final changes to the addressing, and I just wanted to respectfully request that council move that amendment and vote on it.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move the amendment.
We have a motion from Commissioner Saltzman for the staff amendment. We have a second from Commissioner Fritz. Why don't we go ahead and take the vote since it's technical?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's passed.
Mayor, before we open to public, we do have a special guest here. We have Lake Oswego's fire chief, formerly Portland's fire chief. I don't know if he wants to say a few words. Ed?
Ed Wilson.
Ed Wilson, right? Ed, do you want to say a few words, or am I mistaking you? Okay. My eyesight's failing me.
Welcome to the club, Dan.
Okay.
We can invite George Pasador. He's sort of a celebrity.
Oh, yeah, George. Anyway, we can open up public testimony. Another.
All right, how many people do we have signed up today?
We have seven testifiers today.
All right, very good. So 3 minutes, make sure the green light is on, and once the mic's on, just leave it on for the next person. and the mics slide around, and as I've said, about 6 inches is right. Name for the record, you do not have to give us your address unless you really want to. And under council rules, if you're a lobbyist, a paid lobbyist, please disclose that as well. Thanks, Sue. First three, please.
The first three, please. Richard Risk, Paul Conay, Bob Button, and they'll be followed by Leslie Goss, M. Lehman, and Mari Bauer.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Thanks for being here. Would you like to go ahead and start, sir?
My name is Bob Button, and I'm a resident at 6640 Southwest Corbett Avenue in the area that would become the South Waterfront. And I moved there 3 years ago after spending 28 years in the Bridal Mile neighborhood, and I don't know how many people here have moved in the last few years? Anybody in this room? In that process, I ended up taking 18 months to try to notify all of the various accounts in the area of government, finance, health, insurance, and utilities in order to make all of the changes that were necessary. And it was about 6 to 8 months of having different elements of these various organizations not get the message from the primary organization, followed by credit problems, followed by service problems, followed by delivery problems. My daughter lives in a leading zero location about 8 blocks from where we live down in John's Landing at this point. And I took the effort to Google some of the leading zero places, and basically Google found them with absolutely no problem whether I left the zero on or took the zero off in terms of finding those. So I was very confused in this process. I want to state that Mr. Abbey made a very great case for this. I had not had the opportunity to hear that case and did not find it online when I went to look for various elements to educate myself about this process. But I think that I would like to say that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to need to have a lot of information if they are, in fact, forced to change their addresses like this. There is a lot that could be anticipated in terms of helping people, but I would like to say that if there are other alternatives to changing this address system, I first found out about this less than 5 weeks ago. I had not heard anything about it before then. There was a meeting. There was no one at that meeting to provide that education in this process or have that conversation. And I'm still very, very concerned about a 7-year process with 5 years where things appear to have two different addresses. So that's my concern, and I wanted to bring them up. I hope that they'll be addressed appropriately. One of the things I did want to ask was perhaps another 6 months is needed to provide more data to a variety of people in the community to really understand where this is going and to get some comparisons about what the opportunities are in terms of how this could be solved.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be heard. My name is Richard Risk. I'm president of the South Portland Business Association, and I'm speaking on that behalf. I'm also a leading zero. My office is on Southwest Iowa Street, 0434 Southwest Iowa Street. So I have some knowledge about that issue. The first thing I'd like to point out is the obvious is we have, first of all, Andrew Abbey did an excellent job of pointing out an issue that needs to be addressed by the city, and I want to recognize him for that. And I also appreciate Commissioner Salzman for his focus on the safety and welfare of the citizens of Portland at such a crucial time where that really is a major concern, and you should be commended for that. I want to just point out some very obvious things. We have two issues here, not one. We have the leading zero issue and the South versus Southwest Portland issue. The people who are businesses in my district are from Lehrer Hill, Corbett, John's Landing, and South Downtown. And we are not a cohesive group because of I-5, McAdam, and Barber. We're not one. It's hard for us to organize and make our thoughts heard. Unfortunately, I don't think our thoughts have been heard, even though I generally support some of my constituents do not this leading zero issue. So I'd like to talk about three meetings. First, I'd like to talk about a meeting I had with Mr. Abbey when he came and was presenting this, And he did admit it was sort of an afterthought, and he had decided these issues and kind of was telling us about it rather than hearing from us. We're concerned about that. There's another meeting happened at the Hyatt and was a fairly large group of people who expressed displeasure with this issue and expressed concern over the costs, and I wanted to express that to the commissioner and the Mayor Wheeler.
Can I ask you a question? What are the costs that you're referring to?
Well, there are costs of changing the address and a lot of this is small businesses. All the costs from regulatory, and there's actually a memo that we sent all the commissioners and the mayor.